This is a sermon from New City Presbyterian Church in Cincinnati, Ohio. To learn more about New City or to hear more sermons in this series, visit newcitycincy.org.
Our scripture reading this morning is from the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verses 10 through 23. We will begin on page 982 in the Bibles if you'd like to follow along as I read. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned, in whatever situation I am, to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Yet, it was kind of you to share my trouble, and you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving, except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice, acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Jesus. The brothers who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Well, good morning, everyone. My name is Alex. I am not one of the pastors here. I am a pastor here at New City in the denomination. As Pastor Josh mentioned earlier, my wife Kern and I and our three boys at the time moved here to Cincinnati with a desire to plant a church in my old neighborhood of Price Hill I lived in as a child. But even though we've only been residents here for a few years, Cincinnati has been on our radar for a long time. When I was, I used to live, as I said, in Price Hill on the west side, and even though I didn't go to high school here, which means I'm not a true Cincinnatian, the city has always had a special place in my heart. When I was getting ready to graduate from seminary, that's when I first met folks like Pastor Josh and Pastor Mark Champagne over at Redeemer PCA in Mason. And we started dreaming about the possibility of me coming back and serving my old neighborhood here. But I ended up taking a call to serve an inner city church plant up in Rochester, New York. And we got there right before COVID, which was a hard time to start ministry. But over time, and we would come back to visit here because my dad lives in northern Kentucky. And on those visits, the Lord started stirring our heart to think about what it would look like to see a church planted in Price Hill. And so we ended up moving to Cincinnati in 2023, and we received a lot of help from Cheryl Ferry in finding a house here in Cincinnati. In fact, there's a picture I recently rediscovered of like three PCA pastors unloading boxes from one of those giant storage units. It was Pastor Brian and Pastor Zach and Mark Champagne from Redeemer. So I was very thankful for all the support we've received from this church and others. We're still a few years away from where Pastor Mike Prevetera is in terms of planting. Mike is planting in the College Hill neighborhood, which is where I serve as a chaplain right now at Twin Towers senior community over there. But we recently started a not-for-profit called Hill of Hope Ministries as a way for us to build momentum towards church planting. And so if you are at all interested in learning more about what we are doing, I invite you to talk to me after the service, or you could find me on Church Center. My email and phone number is on there. But I'm very thankful to have the opportunity to open up God's Word with you this morning. Before we do so, please pray with me. Father God, as we hear your voice in your holy scriptures, we pray that our hearts would burn within us with your love, as the hearts of the apostles did so long ago. And we pray that we would have the experience such that as we leave this place and go back to our families and where we work and in our communities, and others would sense that we have been with Jesus. We pray that all this would be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we've come to the end of our series in Philippians, and as you heard in that passage, this text contains one of the more famous verses in the New Testament, and we could probably say it together without even looking. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yep. So if you've got John 3:16 and Psalm 23 as, you know, some of the most well-known verses in the Bible, Philippians 4:13 is definitely in that second tier. It's very well known, but it's usually associated with the fields of athletics, right? Or the military, or the gym, you know, these different fields of American achievement. But as we know in this text, it was never associated first and foremost with those things. It was written by a man in prison, a man at a dark period in his life when he was in a place of suffering. And it was in that dark place that Paul received this bright encouragement, this gift from the Philippian church that we've been hearing about through this series. But what Paul wants to make clear to this church and to us is that he has learned a secret. And it is not really a little secret for us. It's a big secret that we want to have ears to hear today. And it is this: Jesus gives strength for every circumstance. Jesus gives strength for every circumstance. And because of that, we can face every situation. Because of that, we can give well. And because of Christ's strength, we can receive well. And so first, Jesus gives strength for every circumstance, and so we can face every situation. In verses 12 and 13, Paul says, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. And of course, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. The first thing that I want us to see here is the source of Paul's strength. It is not his know-how. It is not his pedigree. It's not his political skill or his connections. His strength comes through Christ alone. And this focus, this laser focus on Christ alone, is in theme with what Paul has said elsewhere in the letter. Back in chapter 3, Paul makes clear that our righteousness, our standing before God, comes not from culture or from our achievements, but through faith in Christ. And so just as we have righteousness in Christ alone, we receive strength ultimately from Christ alone. And we're reminded of what Jesus said similarly to his apostles in John 17, where he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. And Paul is saying the same thing, but in a more positive sense, that through Christ, we can do all that God calls us to do. And so as you hear this reminder, church, where are you looking for strength today? To whom do you look for strength? Behind every paycheck, behind every gift you receive, every kind person, are you seeing with the eyes of faith the Lord Christ who gives every good gift to his people? Yes, God, the Philippian church was giving to Paul. Yes, we know that God uses means, but behind it is God who strengthens and provides for us his people. And Paul makes clear, he uses this very inclusive language of all things. I can do all things, not some things, not just a few things. Christ strengthens for us for all he calls us to do. And that's important because he's not saying that God gives us strength for whatever we want to do, right? It's not like we're saying that because I want to start a certain kind of business or because I want to score the winning goal, God's going to give me the strength to do that. Rather, Paul is saying God gives strength for whatever he is calling us to do. Whatever he is calling us to do in his sovereign plan, God will provide. He will not leave us alone. I don't know where God has you right now. And frankly, for a lot of us, we might feel like in some areas of our life, we're way up here. But in other areas, we might be down here. So for some of us, we might be on the mountaintop in our finances, but in our family relationships, we're in a valley. And so we're often experiencing multiple things at the same time. But the point is, whatever circumstance, whatever need you are in, do we see that Christ will give the strength and is giving you the strength even now? And doing all things does not mean fixing all things. It doesn't mean that every problem that comes our way, we're going to be able to solve. What it does mean is that whatever God calls you to, he will give you grace to endure it all. To borrow a phrase from the Apostle Paul elsewhere, we may feel pressed, but we are not crushed. We may be perplexed, but not driven to despair. As you face situations of need, can you see beyond the need to Christ's current care for you and Christ's coming care for you? Because if we're honest with ourselves, when we go through situations, they scream at us. They get all of our attention often. And so it is a struggle to recognize, yes, I'm going through something incredibly hard, and yet I want to see Christ taking care of me in that situation. And even when we don't know exactly how we're going to get through it, we know that he will come through. Christ's care is on its way. And I want you to see something that we may not always find apparent in this passage. Paul says that I know how to be brought low and I know how to abound. I have learned the secret of facing hunger and plenty. You know, facing need or hunger, that's a no-brainer. When we're in a place of need, we know we need help, right? I need God to come through for me. But when was the last time you received an end-of-year bonus or a huge tax refund and it freaked you out, right? When was the last time that we got a lot of something and we're like, oh, what do I do? And Paul is purposely saying that he needs wisdom to know how to face abundance, to know how to face plenty. And why would that be? Because abundance can tempt us to find our strength in wealth and not in Christ. And that's a temptation that a lot of us face. Those of us who are more middle-class Christians or above, those of us with means, we need wisdom to face seasons of abundance. We need knowledge from the Holy Spirit to steward our resources in a way that honors Christ. The neighborhood that God has called us to serve, Price Hill, has a lot of needs. And I don't need to pretend that they aren't there. We see them every day in our neighborhood. And sometimes well-meaning folks will come up to us and they'll hear where we live and what we're doing there. And, you know, they'll say something like, yeah, they really need help over there in Price Hill. And we do. We need help. But I will say this. Our friends who live in nicer or seemingly safer neighborhoods, they face a different kind of danger that many of my neighbors don't face. And that's the danger of abundance. The danger of thinking because my material needs are met, therefore I don't need a savior. I don't need God's care in my life. Where there's a temptation to trust in riches and not in God's care. And so if you find yourself in a position of abundance, we need to be praying for wisdom and the right perspective on how to use what God has entrusted to us. And of course, we have a perfect example in the Philippian church. And so we've been talking about how through God's strength, we can face every situation, but also because of God's strength, we can give well. We can give well. Paul says in verse 14 to this Philippian church, it was kind of you to share my trouble. And that word share in the book of Philippians should be setting off alarm bells because it's a word that has been coming up throughout this letter. At the root of that word in the Greek is that word koinonia, that word that describes fellowship as coming alongside someone and partnering with them in suffering. In a real sense, as the Philippians give, they are owning Paul's needs as their own. They are showing through their gift that they care. And Paul honors their generosity, that they do it again and again. They're looking for opportunities to give. And if Paul is modeling contentment as the gift receiver, the Philippians are modeling contentment as the giver. Because what allows them to give again and again is knowing that God's going to take care of them. And so they can give generously to Paul. And so for us, again, out of the strength and provision that God gives us, we too are called to look for opportunities to partner, to share in koinonia with those who are suffering. And just getting very practical, again, in our neighborhood, one of the reasons that some of our neighbors make poor choices, especially younger people, is that they honestly don't think anybody cares. They don't think that people really care what they're going through. And frankly, a lot of people don't care, or they don't seem to care very much. We've seen situations where the city doesn't allocate resources justly. Sometimes, not always, but some police just see these young people as threats. Families don't often care or can't care very much because they have their own problems. And so what we are invited to and what excites us as a family is thinking about the ways that the Church of Christ can come alongside those who think that nobody cares, who can share in fellowship and share the burdens that a lot of neighbors face. And there are very amazing things that have been happening in our neighborhood. People, Christians, have been working there for decades. Ministries like Block Ministries have been serving neighbors in Price Hill. Also, I want to quickly highlight that there is a growing Young Life ministry on the west side at West High and Dater High School. And so we're seeing more students who are pouring their lives into these high school students and sharing Christ with them. So there's all these examples of hope and gospel going forth, but there's more to do. And so I ask you to pray for wisdom and eyes to see opportunities to partner with those in need in whatever neighborhood God has called you to serve. And a few things that we need to remember as we think about giving in this text is, first and foremost, giving does not earn God's favor. Giving does not earn God's favor or grace. Paul has already made it clear that righteousness, our standing before God, only comes by faith, not by works. And so when Paul is talking about giving in this text, it's the language of Romans 12, right? Where Paul says to the Romans, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God. And just like in the book of Philippians, that command comes after Paul telling the people that we are justified by faith alone, not by works. And so giving is a sacrifice in the sense of a thank offering, or it's a good work that takes place after we've been declared righteous through faith. But it is expected that we are growing in this gift of giving, that there's effort involved. We remember what Pastor Brian quoted when he said, grace is not opposed to effort, but to earning. So there is an effort that we show in giving. And we learn here, and we're reminded, giving does benefit the giver. Giving benefits the giver. In verse 17, Paul says, I am seeking the fruit that increases to your credit. Not in the sense of increasing God's love or his grace for them, but it's what Jesus meant when he said, store up treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy. And then I want you also to be reminded that giving pleases God. Giving pleases God. And I don't want you to skip over that you can please God. That even the little things that we do, the small steps that we take towards generosity or towards holiness in other areas, that pleases a holy God. And I wonder, you know, if we had that perspective as we think about giving or as we think about growing in righteousness, how that would change our relationship with God if we remembered that God is pleased by whatever steps we take to serve him in this world. And so we've been hearing how God gives us strength for every situation. And so we can give well, but also we can receive well. And we see Paul modeling this for us. I want you to notice that it's so clear in this passage that there is a reciprocal relationship here. That usually when we think about giving, we tend to think of it one-sided. You know, we have this idea that the rich give to the poor, and it's this one-directional relationship. And yet Paul makes clear that this is reciprocal, that Paul is benefited as people give to him, but the givers are benefited as they give. And I'm reminded of what the great reformer John Calvin said about the relationship of the rich and poor. Calvin once said that when the rich and meet the poor, God sends us the poor as agents to gather what is his. In other words, what he's saying is that when someone is asking us for help, there are times we have to say no because we just can't help. You know, the resources aren't there, but that request for help may also be God showing up to collect what is his. And it's helping us to learn how to not trust in our riches, but to trust in his provision. And so Paul is making clear that reciprocal relationship here. And Paul, he avoids both boasting and groveling. Right, he avoids boasting, and he says at one point, not that I am speaking of being in need, and that's confusing at first, because, you know, Paul, you're in prison, you have needs, right? You know, we're trying to help you. But in the next verse, he says that he can face need. And so Paul's making clear there's need and then there's need. There's a neediness that tempts someone to look outside of God for help. You know, so people who say, well, God's not going to take care of me, so I have to take care of myself. But there's also a neediness that says, I'm missing something, but God's going to take care of it somehow. I know that he has me. And that's what Paul is talking about here. But Paul doesn't boast. He doesn't say, you know, I don't need this gift. I'm going to send it back to you. And this is a good challenge for a strain of American individualism that says, you know, I'm not a charity case. I don't need handouts. Often that's not healthy independence. It's pride. It is normal to have needs in God's world. It's a good thing to receive help, however it comes from the Lord. Struggling with a microphone this morning. All right. But Paul also doesn't grovel, right? He doesn't say things like, I never could have done this without you, or thank you 50 times. Paul makes clear he did not need another savior. What he needed was fellow sufferers. He did not need another savior. He needed fellow sufferers. He knew that God would save him, that God would strengthen him for anything he had to face. And that's important for us to hear too, as we are in positions of giving, we are not to see ourselves as saviors, but as those who bear witness to the Savior, as those who come alongside those who need help and share in koinonia with them. A good test for us as we are engaged in this business of giving and receiving, are you still able to care for someone who says no to you or someone who lets you down when you have a need? Because if you think that people are the ones who have to save you, then it's going to lead to bitterness and extreme disappointment when they fall through. But if you know that God has you, if you know that Christ is going to take care of you, you can still care for those who will let you down, for those who will say no. Paul is not seeking to benefit only from the Philippians. He is seeking their goodness. He's seeking their holiness. He's seeking their growth in Christ. And he can do so because he knows that Christ has him, that he is the source of his strength. Church, Jesus gives strength for every circumstance. And we've been saying this a lot today. We know it in our minds, but we don't fully know it. We don't know it as we ought. We're in process. Paul says something important. He says, I have learned the secret. I have learned the secret of facing both abundance and hunger. That means there was a point in Paul's life when he did not know this. He did not know it the way he ought to. And this is one of the reasons why it's important for our churches to have different generations in them. Because those who have lived a little bit more life than us can teach those of us who are younger that if God did it for me, he can do it for you. God is going to take care of you. And the good news in all of this is that even though we are in a process, God is going to bring that process to completion. And coming full circle, we're reminded of what Paul says in chapter 1, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. Mahalia Jackson was a companion of Dr. Martin Luther King during the Civil Rights Movement. She was well known for the singing of different encouraging gospel songs. And one of the songs that she sang, which is very relevant for us, is the gospel song, How I Got Over. And here are some of the lyrics. how I got over. How did I make it over? You know my soul, look back and wonder, how did I make it over? How I made it over, going on over all these years. You know my soul, look back and wonder, how did I make it over? One day, we're all going to be able to look back and wonder how we made it over. And we're all going to have the same answer. It was the Lord Jesus who gave us strength to do what he called us to do. That's our hope. Let's pray. Lord, we ask that you would do what is humanly impossible, that you would take these words that have been spoken, and that through the Holy Spirit's power, you would work through inches and through miles in growing us to be more like our Savior. Lord, I pray that we would all, whatever situation we're facing, we would know the contentment, the peace that goes beyond every circumstance. And that one day we could all celebrate together knowing that it was you, Lord Jesus, who did it. And we pray all this in his name. Amen.
You've been listening to a sermon from New City, a church in Cincinnati, Ohio. Visit our website at newcitycincy.org for more sermons and resources. That's New City, CINCY.org. Thanks for joining us today, and God bless you.